Okay, we're going to be in Romans, the 5th chapter this morning. We talked about last week how Abraham was justified by faith, not by works, and that the faith in Jesus Christ is what the new covenant is all about, and we're under the new covenant. The entire Old Testament proves that we are not capable of keeping the law on our own. And that all the law did, as we talked about earlier in Romans, is expose sin. Because if there had not been a law, there would be no sin. But because of the law being established, it exposes our inability to keep it. So, of course, the Lord made a way because he knew his creation could never be reunited with him unless we could get past the sin issue. Why is that? Because God is holy and there can't be anything in his presence that is not. Okay, so let's start with chapter 5. We're going to go verse 1.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given.
Amen. Sorry. We're going to go back through that and go like verse at a time and just count to 3.
Okay. All right. We are in Romans chapter 5. We're going to start back at verse 1.
We're going to start over. I'm just saying from here forward.
Okay.
After each verse, count to 3.
Okay.
So we've been justified by faith, which we talked about last week, not by our works, not by our ability to handle the sin problem, not by our ability to be so good, because that's the one thing we're not.
Say that.
As a matter of fact, he talks about that in the heart of man, and he names so many horrible things that is found in us. And most of us would say, well, that's not me, but he said actually it is. Because the sin DNA that we inherited from our mother Eve, sin DNA, is part of us. But we're justified by faith. So what does that mean? It means that the only way that we can make it is that the Lord had to make a way in the wilderness. He had to make a way for us to make it back to him. And the only way that that is through faith. And I want to stress that because we're going to go on into other things. And as we talk about how we should be walking, how we should be living, we need to first understand our ability is a process. Let's say, for example, you decided, I'm going to let go and start following God now, today. Today I'm going to make the decision that I'm going to follow Christ. Today you will get some things because he will strengthen you. He will begin the journey in you. He will give you a new heart. But I want you to get the visual. Say you get a new heart today. That new heart still got to work through the rest of the flesh. The flesh has been dominating all this time. You've been doing exactly what you want to do, when you want to do it, and there's been no control over it. And you'll say, well, I've been living my life the way I want. Have you? Because Paul later tells us that you're going to be a slave to somebody. You're either going to be a slave to righteousness or you're going to be a slave to sin. So I'm doing my own thing? Are you? Do you even have your own thoughts? Well, I'm doing what I want to do. Are you? How many of us have found ourselves in a situation where we're doing something. There's something in our life that we don't want to keep doing, and yet we cannot stop. We say we're going to stop. We say we're able to stop. Oh, I can stop anytime. Stop with the bragging, because you don't have the power to stop. God has to take that from you, whatever it is. Say, for example, it's, oh, let's make it easy. What if it's something as simple as anger? Can you really control, if you have an anger management problem, can you really control when you go from 0 to 110? I know that I had that problem, and I couldn't. I had no control of it. Man, something could set me off, and there was no ability to think or change or stop. God had to take that from me. That's the problem that we have with sin. If it's been dominating, don't expect somebody who's coming in out of the rain to be dry immediately. Okay, church, keep going. Let me go to the next verse. So we have gained access through Jesus Christ through faith. That's the only way we get there, is through faith. And the access of that faith is Jesus Christ. What does that mean, anybody? What does it mean we gained access through Jesus Christ? What does that look like? Anybody?
The Holy Spirit in us.
Say you're on the other side. You don't have the Holy Spirit. How do we gain access through faith?
Through Christ, you mean?
Yes. What does that look like?
By his dying and his resurrection, we have access to eternal life through him.
Key word, which you just said. Say again.
So just by asking?
Oh, as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
By asking. By asking. Asking. It really is this simple. It's simple. I've said it 100 times. It's simple, but not always so easy. But faith will come simply by asking. Asking to be redeemed through Jesus Christ. The only way, and what does that look like? You're on the other side. You say, Lord, I need to be forgiven. I need to be reunited with you. And I know and I believe by faith that Jesus Christ paid the price for the sins I have not yet overcome. He overcame them for me. So I'm accepting this free gift by faith through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you can't come to the Father. Okay. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is the hope of every Christian. What do we do this for? The hope of every Christian is exactly what? What's our hope? I'm going to give you a clue. It has to do with fire insurance. What's the hope?
To be with him in paradise.
To be with him in paradise. The hope is that we will not pay for these sins. Jesus paid for them already. That's our hope. It should ignite in us to do better, but we'll get there. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but rejoice also in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, back to hope. Can anybody think of what could possibly really be positive about suffering? I want us to take a quick look at suffering, because here it is made clear we're not exempt. A lot of times when people come to know the Lord, they think their life is going to be all hunky-dory and there's going to be no problems and God is with me now and I'm protected from every bad thing that ever happens here on this planet, that the prince of the world is reigning in. That's not what he says. We will have suffering, and it produces perseverance. Somebody give me an example of what that could look like.
Well, when you're suffering and you're going through things, it actually, it builds your character in him. It makes you want to get closer to him, to know him more. It doesn't push you away. It draws you closer to him.
Isn't that a sad reality? It's the truth. But the reality is that a lot of times if things are going 100% well, we really don't invest too much in our friend, in the relationship that you have with God. But through trials and tribulations, between suffering, sometimes it's suffering with a loved one. Sometimes it's suffering with your own body. Sometimes there's all kinds of manners of suffering. Sometimes for Paul, he's in prison. But what is it doing? It draws him closer to his hope. It increases, believe it or not, his faith. Because what do we learn through these trials and these tribulations? What do we learn when we're going through a tough time?
We can't get out of it on our own.
Okay.
We cannot.
Exactly.
We need him.
We need him. And what do we learn? That he shows up.
Absolutely.
He will show up, and he will begin bringing your faith alive. Because it's one thing to read about Jonah and a whale. It's something else to read about Moses and the plagues and how he delivered the people. It's one thing to even read about Jesus being able to open the eyes of the blind. But it's something else happens when he does it for you. There's something else that happens when you know you're in such a situation that cannot be turned by your own hand. And then you begin to see the hand of God turning hearts and turning people and working on your behalf. Something happens in you. Your testimony is what's being built now. Now you have something to talk about. The strongest, most powerful thing that you have is going to be your testimony. And what is all this for? Is it for you? Is it all about you?
No.
He gives us a testimony so that not only can he redeem you and bring you closer to him, but he's given you a testimony so you can share it with somebody else who doesn't have one yet. See, when people are on the other side, they don't have a testimony yet. But when you can come up and say, and they say, oh, gee, well, why do you believe in that? How do you really know there is a God? I mean, do you really know that? Actually, I do. And if you've got a couple of weeks, I can tell you all the different ways he's shown up in my life. You have a testimony, and he's giving it to you through your hard times.
Amen.
But you've got to persevere. You've got to persevere. What does that mean? What does that look like?
Enduring trials.
What does it look like? Enduring trials is the right answer, but what does it look like?
You're not giving up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not giving up on what?
The difficulties, the hardships that you're going through, the suffering that you're dealing with.
That you're going to come out on the other end, mm-hmm. that you're going to make it out.
There you go.
Not giving up on mm-hmm. that.
You're not giving up on your belief that God's hand is in it no matter what. No matter what. This is the hard part, the no matter what part.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, I believe that I'm going to come out of this, but you don't know how.
Yes, right.
Some people, for example, are trusting God to deliver a child, and that child may end up passing. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, wait, what? I was trusting you with this. Mm-hmm. I put this in your hands. But my child passed. They didn't overcome. They ended up passing. what does this mean? Does that mean God let me down? This is where perseverance starts showing up. No, even if the answer is not what I was hoping for, it's okay because I 100% believe the answer is best. Mm-hmm. I 100% stand when the winds and the rains and the hurricane is coming. I stand. I know that he is with me. He's going to go with me through whatever I have to face. That's what we're believing in, is that he is with us. I want to read something that just showed up this morning. I should have marked it, but I was just so touched by it. It's in Isaiah. And it's on Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And he says, he talks about this in Isaiah 43. Sorry about that. And I'm not going to be able to find it because I didn't mark it. But he says that he has you in his hand. I will help you. I will redeem you and hold you, uphold you in my righteous hand. He makes promises to us. That doesn't mean you're always going to get the answer that you're looking for. And it doesn't mean God let you down. That doesn't mean he let you down because it didn't go the way you thought was best. So back. So perseverance. Perseverance means that you hold on to your faith no matter what the circumstances look like. That you trust him no matter what he decides. That you know that his best interest is for you. What's best for you is what he's going to do because he knows. And that it brings forth perseverance itself, brings forth character. What does he mean by character? Somebody give me an example. So by persevering, it helps develop your character. What does that kind of look like? Character. Character.
I think you're going through tough times and you persevere, you're tested a lot, and you have to pass the test or you'll keep getting the same test over and over again until you learn. And then as you learn through that trial and tribulation, you start to build a stronger, more Christ-like character.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it leads to a Christ-like character mm-hmm. by persevering. You'll learn through perseverance and through usually God showing up, because he shows up in so many ways through our trials. Mm-hmm. He'll handle things we can't handle. So we'll learn through that to hold on. As you learn to hold on, you will become more Christ-like in your character. And what does it look like? How you handle the next one. How you handle the next trial. Is the next trial going to come and you start all over at zero faith? No. Because of what you've already been through, your faith is already a little bit more established than it was before you went through a trial. And these trials keep coming, and they make us strong. And then eventually somebody gives you some terrible word, and you are not shaken, and you are not moved by everything that's not looking so good. Because you've been through enough now, and you've seen what God can carry you through now. You know that he will provide for your family no matter what it looks like, no matter how high the eggs are in the supermarket. You know because of what he's brought you through and to. So now your character is more Christ-like in the trial. Has have anybody been through enough yet that when somebody says, well, aren't you worried about this and that, you can say, actually, I'm not. I've left it in God's hands, and I know what that means. I know God's got this. If, say, for example, it's your children, if you have children, and you're worried, you worry about the lifestyle that they're leading, you know what can happen to them in the course that they're on. But are you plagued with worry? If you've been through enough and persevered through enough and seen what God can do in your life enough, then you say, I'm not. Because I know that God gave me those children. And I know, as much as I love them, he loves them more. Mm-hmm. He loves them more than I do. So if the King of Kings, the all-powerful, loves your kid more than you do, then you would know that child is in his hands and God will do everything he can to reach them. And even if, for example, you're feeling like, yeah, but that child has rejected God, or that child is this, or that child is that, you don't know what's going to happen before that person's time is up. You just rest assured God got it. And he's going to give it extra attention because his daughter or his son is asking. It's a privilege to be a child of God. It's a privilege to now be redeemed and on the other side. It's a privilege to be forgiven.
Amen.
And the word tells us he called you, you didn't call him.
Amen.
So don't get it twisted and think that you made such a great decision. He called you. He turned your heart. He gave you a desire. He allowed the circumstances to keep moving in your life until you can't figure out how to get out, and then you finally turn and look up. He's the one who does this.
Amen.
What a privilege it is to know the Almighty God. Mm-hmm. And then he says, I don't even call you servants. I could, because at the end of the day, you're a servant. But I've chosen to call you friends. You get to be the friend of God. Friends care about friends. Friends care if you're going through something tough. Friends try to meet a need if they know there is one. Friends. And God says we are his friend.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're struggling and we're hurting or we're worried about something, we've got to learn you've got the Almighty on your side. Psalm says if he stretches out his hand, who can move it?
Mm-hmm.
If he decides something, it will be. And you've got an inside door. We just learned how, through Jesus Christ. You get to be able to go right to him and say, something's on my heart. Have you been paying attention to my kid? Have you been paying attention to my circumstances? Amazing what God will do.
Amen.
And all of this leads to hope. Hope is what? What are we hoping for? Let's just lay it out again. What is our hope?
That we will be with him in the kingdom.
That we will be with him in the kingdom. That everything that you go through down here is leading you back home.
Amen.
It's leading you back home to be reunited with your dad, with your friend,
mm-hmm.
with the one who created you. With the one who took your hand. He says, I will take your hand and carry you through these things.
Your right hand.
Your right hand. Right hand. Why the right hand? Because that was a symbol of strength.
Mm-hmm.
I will take your hand. What a connection. people want to talk about they got friends in high places. I've got real influential friends. I know so-and-so. I'm going to name drop. You don't have a friend in that high place. And if you do, you are in a good place. Because there isn't anyone that can change anything he decides.
Amen.
But we can bring it to him. Amen. Okay, Tammy, continue in verse 6.
Okay. But when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
When we were without strength. When we were unable to overcome sin. When we were powerless against sin, Christ died. Keep going.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
So let's make that clear. What he's saying is scarcely. Every once in a very would be blue the moon, someone would die for a good person. And next to never will anybody die for a bad person. In other words, are you willing to take somebody else's place in death? So you got this, say, mass murderer, you know, eating people or whatever they're doing, and here's the trial. And you're going to jump up in the trial and say, I'll die on his behalf instead. Very rarely will anybody do that. And even for a good person, most of us are not really willing to lay down our life, even for a good person. But God demonstrates how much he loves us by doing this while we're still rotten people, while we're still in sin. Through his son, he lays down his life while we're yet sinners. Keep going.
Okay. Verse 10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Go back to 9.
Okay. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Through him.
Keep going.
For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Everybody understand that? While we were outside of grace, while we were outside of our ability to be ever in his presence again because he's holy and we're not, he made the decision through his son that we could be brought together, reconciled. If we were his enemy, we're now his friend. Reconciled, fixed relationship. He fixed the relationship. We couldn't fix the relationship. It starts out with while we were powerless. We were incapable of fixing the relationship, but he did it for us.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
12 mm-hmm. through 13. I mean 12 through 14.
Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered the world and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, and because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. The sin is not imputed where there is no law.
Start that over.
Yeah, well. Sort of. For until the, oh, from 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
Okay, we'll stop there for a second, just because it might sound a little convoluted. What is he saying there? He's saying just as through Adam, all of us and Eve, all of us became, our DNA became that of a sin nature also, but through one man, and by the way, the law, if without the law isn't even law, if there wasn't a law that exposed the sin, there would be no sin.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who has to come, who was to come.
Okay, so what he's saying is up to a certain point, people were just living their lives without any law at all, and they were all sinners. Even as Adam comes, there was a plan put in place that we find in Genesis that there was going to be another that comes. And the other would be the Christ that will come that makes a way to abolish the sin problem. Keep going.
Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many.
In other words, let's put it another way. It's not the gift outweighed the time that there was no gift, that they had to do the sacrifices and this, that, and then. The gift, the trespasses, the sins of people far outweighed, or did not outweigh, the transgressions of the people, the gift that God gave us through his son,
mm-hmm.
covers way, in other words, let me put it easy, the gift is overly generous. That's the word, mm-hmm. is overly generous. Because it's covering massive transgressions, massive sin, massive iniquity. One man is abolishing all of that, and that's Jesus Christ. The gift is so much greater. Okay, generous is the word that comes to mind.
Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification.
So what is he saying? That we are justified. Not justified because we did anything, but we go roll right back to the beginning of 5. We only exercise faith.
Uh-huh.
It's through faith that God chooses to justify us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to come to terms with that Jesus paid it for you. That's how we get justified. That's the faith we're talking about, not just faith that God exists. That's not good enough. It's got to be faith that Jesus died in your stead. So humbly we come to his throne of grace and receive the gift that he has set apart for those who call on his name.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we talk about, are you a Christian? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't really say Christian, but I believe
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer. I believe in God. Oh, yeah, I believe. What do you believe? I believe there's a God in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not going to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to believe in the work done by Jesus Christ on that cross. Mm-hmm. You have to agree you're a sinner.
Amen. First of all.
Mm-hmm. You have to agree. Mm-hmm. Then you have to agree you have a need that can't be met, but through faith.
Amen.
And that faith is in that Jesus died, bore the weight of all of our sin, and not good enough, and that he rose again.
Amen. Amen.
And that he rose again. Now we're getting back to that word hope. Now because he rose again, we will rise again. No matter how anything turns out, we will rise again. That's our hope. Mm-hmm. That our Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was the firstborn among many brethren, he says.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the brethren.
Amen.
He's the first one to be raised from a grave
mm-hmm.
and brought straight to heaven. He's the first one to suffer and die and go through that and go straight to heaven. He's the first one. And given what? A glorified body. He's the first one to get the glorified body. And he's saying, this is what it's going to look like for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is what our faith is in. This is what our hope is in. But let your faith be complete. Anybody that's under the sound of this call today or some other day or years later, let your faith be complete. Mm-hmm. Understand what your faith is in, mm-hmm. the completeness of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to, well, I believe that there's a God, so therefore I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't come to terms with you're a sinner saved by grace, we got a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because he covers your sin by you accepting the gift.
Mm-hmm.
He can be standing here with the gift all day. Get the visual.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the gift. I've got enough to give to anybody who wants one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not willing to accept that gift and say, well, actually, excuse me, I need that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to live in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to not have to pay for my sins. I'll take that gift. But if you don't take the gift, you just know all about it. That's not faith.
Right.
It has to be faith in action. And the action is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
18.
Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many were made righteous.
I'm going to drive home one more second. The only way you can be made righteous is through faith. Because if you're expecting that your very good behavior is going to declare you righteous, you got another thought coming, you are going to be very disappointed. I want to bring this up really quickly. Do you know that that is how a lot of the Jews found themselves in the mindset that they were in by the time the real Messiah was right in their face?
Mm-hmm.
For one, they're not seeing a sin problem.
Mm-hmm.
I wash my hands 7 times. I do not work on the Sabbath. I've never taken more than 2 house spaces down the street on a Sunday or on a Sabbath. I don't walk on the Sabbath. If my sheep fell in a hole, I'd leave them there till the Sabbath passes. I won't pick grain if I'm hungry. I'll just be hungry. I mean, come on. That's a very dangerous place to be when you get to be so proud of your supposed good behavior that you lose sight that you are still a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
Did I say that? It didn't go away. You didn't stop sinning, and you still need him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You still need him to cover the sins you're going to commit when you get off this call.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
What about the sins that you're thinking about me right now? it's an ongoing. He's still covering sins. He's covering sins you're going to commit tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
He's going to cover your anger management problem when you're in traffic next week. Mm. Yes, we are justified and made righteous, but it's by him and him alone.
Amen.
Meanwhile, we need to keep working on it.
Amen.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I love this verse. The law was added so that the trespasses might be more noticeable.
Mm.
We people, humans, were living such vile lives that without a law, it was, you know, who's to say?
Wasn't recognized.
Wasn't being recognized. For example, and we have that today when we are abolishing the Bible from everything, then we'll say, well, Your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. And whatever you do, I mean, if it's right to you, it's right. That doesn't change. It's only by God's word that morality is even established.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, what's wrong with cheating on your mate?
Right.
If it makes you feel better, and it makes me a better person at home because it's just so much easier if I have somebody out there that makes me feel good, then I can come home and deal with you. And as long as you don't know about it, then what's really the problem? The goodness in this is that I make sure you never find out. Do you see how? And I've had this conversation with people. Now, I'm not coming up with something off the top of my head. This is years of God exposing me to how people think. I've had this come right out of my chair. Well, it's, you know, this is the only way I can deal with it. And so I feel like it is the right thing. At least I'm staying with him.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Huh.
Without the law, sin is not exposed.
Mm-hmm.
There is no sin if there is no law.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the law had purpose. Someone would say, well, Jeanette, then why did God even bring the law if he was going to just come and kind of abolish it or make a way through grace? Because you won't even attempt to do right left on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And who decides what is morally correct? If there's no law.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the law is very necessary, but its purpose wasn't having you wash your hands 7 times before you have a drink of water. That wasn't the purpose. That's where the Jews ended up taking it. Well, if washing your hands once makes you righteous, wash them 7 times because we want to be outside. We want to be way good. Good's
right.
Not good enough. We want to be better than good.
Right. Right.
So they kept piling more laws and more laws and more laws. And then by the time Jesus is here and staring them in the face, they don't even recognize him.
Right. And that's the same thing that a lot of churches have done in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still do. So.
Amen.
So when we can, in the depths of our very soul, understand this, then it starts to make sense why the law was established, but why we don't live under it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because what does he say? His just as the law exposed sin and led many to death,
mm-hmm.
how much more will grace mm-hmm. be seen and abound? Because there is none of us that don't need the grace.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
You couldn't get the self-righteous Jews to even understand they needed grace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need grace. I got my turtle dove. I got my bull. I'll be there on the high priest day, whatever it is. I'll have that on time. So my sins are clear. I've got a scapegoat that has to carry away all the sins.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all that straightened out. So I do what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
and then I sacrifice these animals mm-hmm. to pay for it, and I basically keep all the rules so I am righteous.
Right.
No, none of us could be without him declaring you righteous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So praise God today that he has declared you righteous in spite of who you really are, in spite of the way we fail, in spite of the fact that we're never going to be able to pull off this sin problem without him.
Mm-hmm.
All we are is in the process of doing better.
Right.
And we're going to get to that next week where it talks about what shall we then say? Shall we go on sinning so grace can abound? I want to stop us from going there because that's the next spot. Well, since I'm under grace, No. That's taking the blood that was shed for you for granted. That's despising the price that was paid for you to live a life that is pleasing to God. But we'll get to that next week. So any questions or comments before we close?
Yes, I do have one comment. It's reference to how we are in today's time. Feel that we need to, I can't come to God until I get my life right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally.
A lot of people say that. I can't come to God until I get my life right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're never going to get our life right.
Right.
And they don't understand that. It's grace. It's grace.
Yeah.
And we're going to go heavily into grace because that's coming soon to a theater near us. We're going to talk about the magnitude of what that means because I don't think, I think we get it and then we lose it. And we get it and then we lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because we keep defaulting back to a lot of our training from our youth. If you were raised in churches,
mm-hmm.
and some of us never understood it to begin with. And I'm going to say, I think a lot of churches never really understood grace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great point.
Yeah.
Any other comments? All right, we're going to close in prayer. Do I have a volunteer that would like to close us today in prayer? I can't call you out because I don't know who's on the call. Most of you came just after we had begun, so I don't know.
Michael.
Michael, will you close us in prayer?
Goodness gracious. All right. Dear Lord, thank you for another week, another day. Thank you for Jeanette bringing a great message. Please strengthen everybody on the call to have the courage to make it through and try again. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, everybody. I want you to have a wonderful day.
Amen.
Thank you.
Great week.
Thank you, Sam.
Bye, Sam.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.